Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, and that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. Those of you who are regular listeners to the show know that we have a diversity of personalities and people of expertise and skill. And, of course, I have been involved in the work of mind for so much of my life, and it always is a pleasure to be able to have as a guest on my show someone who has walked their own particular patterning of experience to become involved in the development of what we would call psychic skills, intuitive skills, whatever term you are comfortable with, and their life is transformed. My guest today is Jack Rourke. He has put together a book called The Rational Psychic. If that intrigues you, I'm delighted, because it should. We all have these abilities to one degree or another, and I think whenever we can discuss how valuable these tools can be, it empowers us as people and makes us aware that life many times will have some interesting surprises as well as gifts to give us. Jack Rourke, I'd like to welcome you to the Donna Sebo Show.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here.
Jack, your book is very down-to-earth. I really like that. I think that it's so important we can talk about the skills of mind in a very down-to-earth, practical way, because as I just said, I believe this belongs to everybody. This isn't an exclusive woo-woo special that just comes to somebody over here in left field or an alien from outer space or however people want to conceive it. It is a part of us. I'd love for you to share your story about how you really came into this, because you were a skeptic. This isn't something that you stood on a corner and said, woohoo, okay, just talk to me. I'm perfectly happy to have this happen. It wasn't an easy journey for you, was it?
It wasn't easy and it wasn't hard. You know, really for me, in my life, I walk a middle way. And I find doing that, whether it's philosophically or just, you know, any other way, it is most beneficial to, because it allows me to be most clear and connected with myself and what's going on in my immediate experience. And so in looking at, you know, extrasensory perception through that lens, we can see that oftentimes the manifestations of the mind, whether they're paranormal or otherwise, meaning emotional or what have you, what they serve to do is distract us from the present moment or distract us from what's really going on by distorting our perception or even how we relate to ourselves in proportion to what it is we are experiencing. So for me, when I began to have It's not that I began to have psychic type experiences. What I came to realize in my late teens, early 20s, is that I was having extrasensory type experiences my whole life, but I wasn't understanding what they were. So what they did is they would actually create problems or sort of stumbling blocks in sometimes how I would understand my circumstances, but more importantly, how I related to other people. And so when I began to understand that I perceived information in a direct and immediate way that was different from most, I really put my nose to the grindstone to understand not just how it happened and why it happened, but really I did that so I could so I could be in touch with myself when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you were quite young, you had an experience that was as fast as the speed of thought. That's what you described in your book.
Mm-hmm.
And it related to your sister. Would you share that experience?
Yeah. When I was 14 years old, my twin sister died. And the reason I share this in the book is not to qualify myself as psychic. And I say that. But more importantly, to point to a circumstance in my life that was really a watershed moment. And the reason this was a watershed moment was this. When my sister died, I'll tell you a brief version of the story, but when I was a kid, I had a paper route, and I would get up early in the morning on Sundays and, of course, collect the newspapers into the house and fold them up and then get on my bicycle and ride around the neighborhood and deliver newspapers. And we were a church-going family, and, you know, we'd leave the house probably, I don't know, 8:30 or something like that. And, you know, I was always lagging behind and, you know, running late because I would oversleep or what have you and be tied up with these newspapers. And on this particular morning, I got up without a hitch, got all my papers delivered, was home, you know, sort of full of energy and, you know, got everything I needed done, you know, got a shower, got cleaned up, ready for church, cleaned my room, like did all these like things I would never do before leaving the house. And I had all this time to spare. And so I was sort of entertaining myself in my bedroom, and I started to get sleepy, and I thought, gosh, you know, I just really want to take a nap because I'd been up since 5. And so I laid down on my neatly made bed, and I wanted to be really careful not to, you know, wrinkle up my church clothes or anything. So I just carefully laid myself down on the bed and just rested my eyes. And I'm prone when I was young to out-of-body experiences, but nevertheless, this isn't something that I was expecting, and I began to, you know, feel the presence of someone in the room, and I slipped into sort of, you know, some people might call it a trance or what have you, but really mm-hmm. in a twilight state, and a being appeared and lifted me from my body and extended his hand to me. I reached out. I took the hand, you know, sort of energetically. And I recall very vividly as I was sitting up, you know, anyone knows that when you're laying on your back, when you sit up, you kind of pull your feet to you, you know, take the pressure off your lower back, and it gives you some momentum to sit up.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I was sitting up, you know, the impulse was there to, you know, pull my feet toward me. And what struck me was they didn't move, you know, and I remember sitting up and feeling like, well, this should hurt, and then realizing there's no discomfort, you know. And then I lifted from my body, and I saw myself lying there on the bed. But more importantly, I'm looking at this being who is sort of indistinct, sort of backlit. I could see the brow ridge and the forehead and the shape of the shoulders and things like this. And he said, and I used the pronoun he, sort of, because who knows. And he said, don't be afraid. And, you know, oddly enough, I wasn't. I just, you know, and he mm-hmm. said, your sister's dead. And so that shook me for a second. I thought, what? And he said, look. And I turned my awareness to my right. And it's like, just to paint the picture for your, you know, for your listeners, is, you know, in the foreground, I'm looking across the bed where my body's laying. And on the other side of the bed, there's my sister standing there.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of her body. And what was compelling about this was the fact that my sister was in a wheelchair her entire life, and she had never actually stood. And I was looking at her with she had a straight back, and she was standing there, and she was smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it was just overwhelming for me. I had the clinical term for this is an empathetic near-death experience, where I could feel within my own being, her joy, the own liberation from being free from her body. And I watched her as she sort of made her way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really, really overwhelming. And what ended this experience was that the overwhelming energy as I my as this the over emotional overwhelm that came over me, the body began to release that stress through tears. And I recall feeling a water slip out of the corner of my eye and kind of go down into my ear, and that sensation brought my awareness back to my body instantly. Mm-hmm. And it was a short time after that that someone came into my room and you know, in a panic, and let me know what happened. And I point to that experience as a watershed moment, because it gave me an unshakable firsthand experience that we are more than our physical bodies. But more importantly, in the context of understanding extrasensory perception, is that it gave me a touchstone of experience that made me realize that there's a capability to perceive information in another other way other than the five physical senses. But most importantly, what was essential about this experience was that the information that I perceived was objectively verifiable. When I came out of this experience, my sister was dead. How did I know that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really the threshold that I believe that we really need to have in this work is the information that we perceive objectively verifiable. And from that, I actually sort of let go of it for a few years. And, of course, inevitably, there were some other experiences in my life that I talk about in the book that kind of then kind of pulled me tighter and tighter onto that path of understanding what this is.
These experiences are verifiable many times in a personal level, but one of the biggest challenges that science per se, which if you are wanting to have something in a scientific demonstration, it's got to be replicable over and over again. And these experiences like this one with your sister is not going to happen exactly the same over and over and over again, because it is in that moment. And you were given a phenomenal gift. I was talking with someone last night about how they have a capacity of knowing when someone is passing, and this has been with them all of their life, and they had never really discussed it with anyone because they thought it was something very dark, very, very ugly. And when we had a chance to discuss this, they realized that this was a gift that they had, where those that were close to this person, they didn't seem to have the experiences, let's say, with a president of a country or anything like that, but within the immediate family and or friends that were very close to the heart, they would have particular physiological, mental, emotional experiences that let them know that that person, just like you were notified about your sister, that someone had passed on. Now, they didn't get necessarily specifics, but they, after we talked for a while, they became aware that they had gotten specifics, but mentally they did not want to open up to that capacity that they had within themselves. By the time we finished talking, it made a big difference in their life. And, Jack, I'm sure you, in your work, just like I have, experienced so many phenomenal stories that people have gone through, and you are going to be one of those individuals where it's like a safe haven. People can talk to you about things, and you're going to say, I can understand this. Let's discuss it. Let's look at it and how you can understand it. And I think that is a fabulous gift to be able to share with anyone that crosses your path. And you do that very nicely in your book, The Rational Psychic. Something I want to bring out is that you really go into what I call a linear presentation, left brain, for the lack of another term, presentation of the usage of terms. Now, as people, we always have to have some kind of language to be able to communicate. Even though telepathy is there, we still have to work within language. And you say psychic perception versus paranormal perception, that there is a difference. What is that difference?
Well, yeah, it is very important. I agree with you that we have sort of a quantitative language to use when discussing psychic ability and extrasensory perception. I'll answer your question in just a second, but I do want to step backwards because you brought up a point in your example of working with your friend or your client. The woman who, or the person rather, who was saying they had an ability to sort of an awareness of when people were around them would be close to their passing. In the rational psychic, I talk about something called need relevance. And need relevance is something that's very important because how we perceive information, or rather why we perceive information when we do, is through need relevance. And it's very simple. If we feel we need to know it and it's relevant to our survival or relevant to our well-being, the mind will allow this information into conscious awareness. Now, it could be somatically in the body, as what you indicated with your client, or it could be an overwhelming feeling of dread or sorrow, or it could be through a particular vision or something like this. But how that information and why that information makes it into conscious awareness is because of need relevance. And the reason need relevance is significant is... Let me illustrate this for really quickly. Is we were talking about your client had an ability to, predict or feel, sense, or know the passing of sort of a public figure. And the reason being is because they don't have an emotional connection with that person. Now, arguably, if there was a particular celebrity, someone they were really sort of had what's called a parasocial relationship with, something they really felt intertwined with emotionally, they argue they may be able to, sense or become aware of some kind of distress with that person. But more often than not, when you're talking about members of your immediate family, you have an emotional history, or perhaps if it's a spouse or a child or someone who you literally depend upon, their survival in great respect is relevant to your survival and your own emotional stability. So when something they become ill or something becomes off with them, you on an empathetic level, you're accessing that information about them, and your conscious awareness communicates their lack of well-being to you through these feelings, these empathetic and somatic experiences. And so the reason, from a psychic perspective, why it's important to understand need relevance is for two reasons. First, people who identify as psychic who may not have an objectively verifiable ability oftentimes have an inability to respect boundaries. And part of not respecting boundaries is having a dramatized or exaggerated sense of need relevance, meaning they're all up in your business, okay? And they might feel or claim to feel you or know what's going on with you, and they make these mm-hmm. rationalizations about, I know what you're thinking, and really you just want to step back and go, wait, get out of my space, you don't understand me, you don't know what's going on. But what they're doing is these folks are overwhelmed in their own experience, and they make assumptions about who you are and what's up with you, et cetera, and then they act on those assumptions without really taking into account that they're violating a personal boundary and they need to step back. And oftentimes people with these types of imbalances, they will come to identify as psychic through improper metaphysical training, and what that does is it justifies their dysfunction. Now, getting back to someone who might have a legitimate ability, the reason need relevance is important to understand is because for you to more accurately access your client, you, number one, need to be aware of need relevance, how to turn it off, how to reassert a boundary so you can lead a healthy life mm-hmm. emotionally and psychologically. The second reason is by opening your heart and by allowing compassion to fill you, you ride that wave of love and open yourself so that the needs of your client become relevant to your own being. And it's through that expression of love and service, selfless service towards your client, that you can ascertain information that is not only objectively verifiable, that can be terribly healing for those you seek to serve. And this is, you know, we didn't talk about the subtitle of my book, which is A Skeptic's Guide to Extraordinary Perception. And really, we become very desensitized, or actually sensitized in a negative way, to the term skeptic. And really, and that's because in the media, skeptics are portrayed as naysayers and negative people. They don't believe in anything, but that's cynicism. That's not skepticism. The definition for the word skeptic is someone who has leads an open inquiry into that which is assumed to be true. And so when I say that the rational psychic is a skeptic's guide to extraordinary perception, it's someone who has an open heart and an open mind, who is willing to journey into this field with a desire to better selflessly serve others.
I think that's a very good statement. And I think that when one becomes aware, and all of us walk our own particular path, but when you become aware and you are in a direction where these skills are meant to be, as you have so very nicely stated, you are meant to be of service to others, you find that there's so much you don't know. And you are on a path of learning that goes on and on and on, and there's no end to it. And the demonstrations and skills of mind are just amazing. And I really appreciated your down-to-earth approach on so many different aspects of the mind, because I think so many people, and I had this said to me, and I share it with you because there's a very strong empathy with what you have written. I had someone come up to me when I had given a program, and they said, I am a very mental person, and the way you communicate, I can empathize with. This person made me laugh because they said they didn't have a psychic bone in their body. And, of course, this person is highly intuitive, but they use it in a different application. Ironically, they're very much involved in the field of the mind, but representing other people. And I just chuckled, and I said, well, because you see these other individuals and what they display, then you think that this is perhaps the way you're supposed to demonstrate your skills, but you're demonstrating them in another modality. But the clarity and the use of words that give the picture image that people can utilize, that's a skill, and this is a skill that you have. And I really like your description of how information would come to you, how all of your sensory system, your entire self, is used, and then you have to translate that into what you said, what the other person can empathize with, what they can relate to. And that is a very fine skill of communication. And many times people do not know, even if they are talented, how to use their words so they don't offend somebody's boundaries. And I think what you said is just extremely well stated. One other point that I'm looking at here, disassociation and psychic discernment. It has been my experience that to be a clear vehicle, those are my words, of transmission, if you will, you have to get yourself out of the way. I've often told people that I'm an information resource, that's all. And anyone that's really skilled in this is part of that facilitation process, for whatever reason, to give to another person that's in need of whatever you have to give them. And you do need to disassociate. You do need to just step away and allow the information to come through. And it's learning a language. You had to learn a language, and you're ongoing with this. I've had to learn the language of the mind, and it's ongoing with me. I think that that's very important for people to understand.
Yes, it is. It is a very important thing to understand. But the way that we're discussing dissociation is also, it goes a little deeper than that. And the reason I bring it up in the book is because people, what I found is lay people don't really always understand, because the teachers don't understand, that the very process of psychic development conditions the mind, conditions your mind to reorganize information in a way that it's really not designed to do. And because of that, there's a lot of dysfunction that can result from improper development and the indoctrination of often illogical metaphysical beliefs. And the reason I bring up dissociation as an example of how and why this happens is really simple, is that dissociation isn't really just as simple as kind of getting out of the way and allowing information to sort of come through. Yes, arguably that's part of it in a very superficial and practical way as a psychic. You do need to do that. So it is extremely practical because that's how one should function in sort of a healthy way. But more importantly, in this context of our conversation, the reason I bring up disassociation is because of its relationship to mental illness. And a dissociative state is when you engage in psychic development, you're literally when you properly get into a state where you can receive all the information from an alternate source from within the subconscious, you're disassociating, you're stepping away from the normal sensory input. You know, the information that comes in through your ears, through your eyes, through your nose, through your tactile sensations, all of this stimulus kind of goes into your brain, into your awareness, and that's where our awareness is focused on this. It's organized, and then the physical world is created for us perceptually within our brain. We never really contact the physical world directly. It's all just kind of our brain interprets stimulus and creates this reality for us. But when we engage psychically, we're pulling away from that inflow of sensory information that our brain organizes for us to create our interpretation of reality. And so, I like to use this metaphor. Imagine you're the energy of, you know, the vibrations of sight and sound and touch and everything and smell are flowing inward, and it goes down a drain. And it's pushing, it's like water flowing into your drain. But deep inside the plumbing, there's stuff that's wanting to flow up into your sink. And so long as you keep that water on and it flows downward, all that yuck that's deep down in your drain stays deep down in your drain, hidden from view. The problem is when you turn the water off, when we disassociate from the inflow of information, everything that's deep in the drain comes up into our awareness. And more often than not, the stuff that comes up are repressed memories, sensations, experiences that occurred in our environment before we had the language to interpret them. Oftentimes, experiences that occurred in our environment before our eyes and our ears and even our sensory instruments were fully formed as infants. All this information is stored deep within the subconscious. And so as we disassociate from the inflow of normal stimulus, this stuff begins to fill the void in the awareness. And this is where you get people beginning to say, these new students, psychic students oftentimes, say, oh my God, I can sense an evil presence. I can sense this angelic presence. I can sense a ghost. I know there's someone watching me. There's all these types of strange sensations that occur. And the eager student, and sometimes teachers who are misinformed about how the mind works and actually how the extrasensory process actually works, begin to reinforce their students' perception of what's in their own mind using metaphysical or paranormal terminology. And then the student goes, oh, gosh, I'm so quick at this. I can perceive ghosts. I can sense this. I can sense that. And they affirm themselves as psychic. And what happens is they get caught in this paranormal loop of sort of consensual and sort of self-validation. And they never actually fully develop. It mm-hmm. stalls their development. And what they're actually engaged in is what I call paranormal perception. And it's the perception of information that cannot be objectively verified that more often than not has to do with a form of a belief system rather than, you know, fact that can be looked up in a book or verified by a client or remotely discerned and then go to that location and find out it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I draw this line in the sand is because it gives psychic aspirants and it gives psychic teachers a bar at which to aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps us understand what's really going on inside of us so we can avoid the pitfalls of sort of emotional indulgence.
Oh, I think that is so true.
That is so true.
Jack, your book has just a lot of depth to it, and I compliment you on using the words that will give people something to be able to relate to, because that's the use of language. You do a very, very good job with your book, The Rational Psychic. I know you have a website. Where can people go to find out more about you, your services, what you do, your publication, The Rational Psychic? What's your website?
The website is www.jackroark.net. That's RoURke.net. The book is also available on Amazon and BarnesandNobles.com. If you go to Amazon, you can see all the comments about the book. It's been selling internationally for the last 3 months. It's doing extraordinarily well. They can see all the endorsements from different sort of celebrities and academicians. And you can also find it at your local brick-and-mortar bookstore. The book has been wonderful. I mean, it sold out in Canada and the United States on Amazon before it was even released. It debuted at number one ESP book, the number one parapsychology book. It made it onto the bestsellers list in parapsychology. And it was just, you know, doing really extraordinarily well. And the feedback has come in from as far away as Australia and India and places in the Middle East and the UK and Italy and Poland. I mean, just the people are emailing from all over the world. They're really responding to this book because it really gives you a clear understanding of how the mind works in relation to extrasensory perception. And what it really, really, really does is for the serious student, the serious person who wants to understand psychic ability and how to access it, it clearly defines what it is and what psychic perception is and what it isn't. It helps you understand the noise created by the brain so that you can clearly discern the actual psychic signal that exists deep within the mind. And
this has just been wonderful. And I regret we are out of time, but Jack Roark, I know your career is just going to do very, very well. And I think your service to other people through this book and through your speaking and other activities that you do as a counselor is going to bring a lot of insight and understanding. And I'm just so pleased that you've been able to be with me today. I know your schedule is a busy one. For those of you listening, go to jackroark.com to find out more about Jack, the book, The Rational Psychic. And I think you will see the change that will come in your thinking and your understanding. Again, Jack Roark, thank you for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And if you would like to give me a call, phone lines are now open at 888-627-6008 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Again, 888-627-6008. It has been an absolute delight having Jack on the show. And I feel that it's so important that we have open conversation about the mind. Because in our world today, we're bombarded with so much information, and every one of us is on the journey of discovering the self. And I think that when we become introduced to individuals who have the capacity of mind skills, then often we want to have them as a part of our experience to give us leverage, to understand about who we are. And in part of that understanding, then we find that we have our own abilities. And in our time today, as I said when I was chatting with Jack, he has a wonderful way of communicating information through his book. And I think that this is so important because we do relate to words. And one of the things that I will tell you, and this is right towards the end of Jack's book, he makes a comment that paranormal experiences or perceptions will haunt you if you choose to deny responsibility for your life. And I thought, now that's a very interesting statement, because as you become more aware of yourself, as you develop integrity with yourself, as you're peeling away maybe habits, belief systems, aspects that you adopted in your life because of wherever you grew up, whatever your background is, and you're questioning and you're saying, there's more to me than what I have wanted to acknowledge or perceive. As you become aware of your own intuitive capacities, you no longer can blame other people. You know to blame, no longer can blame circumstances. There is this level of responsibility that you have. At least that's my perception. And I know Jack shares that. As you become aware, then you realize that how you think, how you direct your thoughts, and where you put your actions has a tremendous impact on your life. To me, the intuitive side, the psychic side, is meant to be a part of your toolkit. It is meant to empower you as an individual. It is not meant to frighten you. And years ago, when I was starting out in this work, I was a student, and I'm still a student today. You never, ever know it all. But when I was a student, I had an encounter with a woman, and at the time, I was in my 20s, she was in her 70s. This was a woman of size, and I can remember she was sitting next to my mentor, and she posed a question to me. why do I have these talents? Why do I have these abilities? Well, you're in your 20s. What do you know? I didn't feel like I knew a heck of a lot. And I was stunned that this woman would even ask me these questions. My mentor just sat to the side and watched how I was going to respond to this. It was one of my lessons. This woman, in her 70s, started telling me stories about her life. And one of them, and I'll share it because it's compatible to what I shared in my interview with Jack. She said, when I was a little girl, when I was 3-4 years of age, she said, I was able to communicate very easily. In her home, which was an extremely religious environment, they would have visitors of the family, you know, from the family that would come in. And she said there was this auntie that she had that was one of her favorite people. She just loved auntie. And auntie came to visit at the family's home. After auntie kissed her goodbye and she was on her way out, this woman turned to her mother. Now, remember, she was only 3 or 4 years of age. And she said, Mommy, auntie's not going to be with us very much longer. Auntie's going to be gone in a couple of weeks. Her mother got furious. Now, apparently, psychic ability ran in the family. There's this little 3-year-old who is severely admonished by her mother to never, ever say anything like that again. Sure enough, 2 weeks later, Auntie passed away. Now, this woman told me when she would have this experience, she always, for her entire life, she would see flowers, and there was this beautiful fragrance that was around the person. And she always knew when they were going to pass away. She'd see colors. She had this phenomenal experience. Well, as a child, she didn't judge anything. She didn't need to. She just had the information that was given to her in a particular way. From that moment on, she didn't dare, especially after Auntie's death a couple of weeks later, her mother severely admonished her. All of her life, most of her life, she would suppress this because, according to the way that she was raised, she was doing the work of the devil. This is what was told to her. Well, here she's sitting in front of me, and I'm in my 20s. She's in her 70s. She finally is in an environment where she can talk about experiences, and she had shared a plethora of others with me. And I looked at her and I said, but this is a gift. This is not something that should make you fearful. It's not something that should make you feel like you're doing anything bad. You have not been cursed, not at all. And so we had this conversation. And here is a woman in her 70s. Who finally gains a little bit of peace. But she had to have someone she could talk to. She had to have someone that she could relate to. And I, in my naive format in my 20s, was able to sit and chat with her. And I thought to myself, wow, I've never had an experience like that. Not in that way. I'd had my other experiences, but not that particular kind. I think when we can talk about what's happening to us, when we can express it, when you journal your experiences, the brain begins to work differently. Now, I know many times it's so easy to get caught up in the sensational aspect of things. I once had a friend who, when she found out what I was doing and I was involved in mind development, we were sitting and having a cup of tea in a restaurant in Westchester, California. And she turned to me, she said, oh, I think it'd be the coolest thing to be able to look up at that plane. And there happened to be a plane flying over the restaurant. We were sitting in a huge, huge window, bay window area. And she said, I think it'd be absolutely awesome to be able to say, well, that plane is going to have this happen to it and the engine's going to fail or it's going to catch fire. And she was all caught up in that kind of thinking. And I can remember saying to her, I don't want that. I really am not interested in that. I want to be able to use these skills so that I can empower other individuals to make their lives better. And I still am of that mindset today. I feel that people like myself, you always choose the direction you want to follow in. And it's very important to remember. If you're wanting to get into sensationalism, if this is something that you like, remember there are going to be consequences with that. But it may be the route that you're supposed to follow. I'm not going to judge that. But I know I had to make a choice. I chose to make a choice to use this in counseling, to use this as an expression of understanding, educating people. That has been my passion my entire life. And I think when you can understand that the development of your own intuitive psychic self is meant to be an assistant, it's not the end-all of end-all. It's part of your natural package called life. That is going to liberate you in a way you would have never imagined. It is something that is going to empower you in ways that you could never, ever have considered. So it's something that is meant to enrich your life, not make you fearful, not make you apprehensive, but make you aware of the greatness of who you are. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. If you want to give me a call, 888-627-6008. We'll be back in just a moment. More good things to share. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosyn is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosyn.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosyn online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosyn, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I want to let you know about guests that are upcoming on the show this week. We've got a wonderful arrangement. One is tomorrow. We're going to be talking about Message from Mother. Mark Cromwell is going to be my guest. This is about Earth. It's about Earth Mother. This woman has a very strong dedication with this. Also, we're going to be talking on Thursday with Christine Page, The Healing Power of the Sacred Woman. Healing Power of the Sacred Woman. This is a powerful book. She goes into history. It is delightful. And then on Friday, well, for those of you who are regular listeners, you know how much I love animals, and I absolutely adore Scottish Terriers. Well, I am going to be interviewing Kathleen Solving, Dogs of War. This is a book that is charming. It's about three specific canines who were associated with very famous people, and you will have to listen in on Friday to find out more. And two of them were Scottish Terriers. I could no more not talk about this than a man in the moon. And I wanted to share a story with you today because it's great. Now, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. Isn't it amazing how we depend on energy and so many ways to do the things that we just take for granted every day? And that loss of power, all of a sudden, bling, it's gone. It's a good example of saying. I wanted to share a story with you. This takes place, we're going to step back in time to 1937, and it's December the 10th. Now, this is taking place, again, December 10th, 1937, in the foothills south of Nanking, China. Now, there was a Chinese army, 3,000 men, totally vanished during the night. Think about that, 3,000 men. Now, earlier in that day of December 10th, there was a Colonel Li Fuxin, who had inspected the troops that he had positioned in a two-mile natural fortress along the road close to a very important bridge across the Yangtze River, where he hoped to delay the advance of Japanese soldiers. Now, the Chinese were battling for their lives, and the Japanese were invading them. It was a horrific story. Now, they were armed with howitzers. The troops had dug themselves in, and the colonel returned to headquarters a few miles behind the lines. 3 hours after he had returned, he was awakened by one of his aides, saying, "We can't reach our troops. We just can't reach them." The colonel immediately went to the front line. The entire army, with the exception of one small outpost closest to the bridge, was gone. Moving 3,000 soldiers? All gone? Now, those few soldiers that he did find, they didn't think anything was odd. What remained were the guns. The soldiers were gone, but the guns were still there. It never has been resolved. They just totally disappeared. Now, in 1915, there was another example. It was the British 1st, 5th Norfolk Regiment, and it was on a mission to Gallipoli to capture Istanbul, Turkey, and they were getting ready for an attack on a hill that was called Hill 60. 250 soldiers and officers, they were under the command of Colonel Sir Horace Bokcham, and they were pursuing their enemy up a hill when a cloud, a very strange cloud that was 800 feet long, 220 feet high, came down from the sky. What was observed is that the troops marched into this cloud. The cloud ascended vertically with it, taking all of the army, the entire army that was there with it. Going back a little further in history, 1868. Saigon, 500 French legionnaires and 150 troops from the Algerian cavalry, they vanished. They never did reach the city, and they didn't return to their base. And the last one that I have occurred in the 1700s, Pyrenees Mountains. 4,000 armed Spanish soldiers camped beside a mountain stream one night. The next day, nobody was there. Interesting occurrences. Makes you wonder what's going on. But in one particular situation, this massive cloud was seen and lifted all of these men up. Never were they seen or heard from again, but it was witnessed. Fascinating stories. We may or may not ever have all of the answers. That's what makes life so interesting. So many variables. Recordings of observations, things that we don't understand. This goes back as far as man's history goes. And that is why I think the study and the development of ourselves is always an ongoing process. You're never going to get there from here. So why not enjoy the journey? I always end the show by saying you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And I really believe in that. But if we're going to be the master of our fate, we have to be awake. We have to be open and receptive. And I say have to because it's really important. We need to be open and receptive to being the best we possibly can be. And instead of looking at it as a negative, say, wait a minute, this is my opportunity This day, right here, right now, is my opportunity to be able to make my life richer and fuller. Be open to learning and recognize your mind is one of the most precious gifts that you have. You want to take care of it. You want to guard what goes into it, and you want to guard your actions. You want to make sure that you give the finest and best, not just to yourself, but in giving it to yourself, you can give the finest and best to other people. That's so important. Have a magnificent day wherever you are. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take charge. Enjoy. Honor and respect yourself. And I guarantee you, your light is going to shine so brightly, others are going to say, I want what you've got. Have a fabulous day. I'll be here same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.